Today, I'm going to be sharing with you some of the reasons for why I, as a non-denominational Baptist, converted from Baptist to Catholicism. I'm going to be sharing with you three reasons, and the third reason might actually surprise you. The first reason for why I converted was an adoration, a deep admiration for the belief of the real present in the sacrament. I believe a sacramental life is a very beautiful one. The sacraments of confession, baptism, the Eucharist, of course, and more are a huge part of a Catholic's experience. But more particularly, out of all of them, I felt the doctrine and belief in the real presence to be something which is so reassuring, something which is so peaceful. It brings you great peace when you enter into Mass or enter into a Catholic church, to know that when you see the small candle being lit in front of the altar or in front of the sacrament, you know the real presence of Christ is there, and you genuflect and you worship. There's something very reassuring about that. And I felt that when you are in Mass, there's this intimate connection between you and Christ. Of course, this is not to say that when you are not in the Mass or if you're not in the service or in the church, Christ is not there, because Christ is omnipresent. He's around the community of believers, the Holy Spirit, as Christ is within all of us. But nonetheless, there's something beautiful about the corporal presence of Christ in front of you. And of course, the same goes with the teaching of the Eucharist. When you are receiving communion, the rite of the Eucharistic rite, you're given the bread onto your tongue. There is something very beautiful about receiving Christ into yourself. It is written in the scriptures, "Unless ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." And I think that having the doctrine of transubstantiation, having that Christ, the body of Christ being presented to you in the Eucharist, is something which not only matches on to the scriptural teachings in John, but also it represents the true essence of the Christian faith, that we are brought together at one with Christ, just as we are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Eucharist is that symbolic, that real expression of what we believe as being hosts of God within us. The second reason, or perhaps the non-reason why I decided to stop being a Baptist, is the veneration of saints. And that was something which to me was very beautiful. Now, a lot of Protestants look at the veneration of Mary and the veneration of saints as this worshipping of extra gods. It's idolatry, it's polytheism, but that's very far different from the doctrines and teachings of the church. The church doesn't say that the saints are gods. We are saying as Catholics is that the saints are in heaven. They are in heaven worshipping God after death. In fact, if you're a Protestant, you believe that all souls who die and are in heaven at this present moment, because there's no purgatory, no temporal purgatory, right? So now all these people are in heaven. Now, what exactly are they doing in heaven? They're worshiping God. You read Revelations. The saints are worshiping God in heaven. When we go to heaven, we worship God, because that is what we do. And if what we do in heaven is to worship, and the means of worship is prayer, because what are we doing when we're praying to God? We are worshiping. And in the same way, when Paul says, pray without ceasing, what he's also saying is to worship without ceasing. He's telling us to worship God with our lives. So if prayer is worship, and people are in heaven, and people in heaven are worshiping and praying, then surely veneration of the saints, or praying to the saints, is telling them to pray for us and continuing doing what they're already doing anyways, because they're in heaven, as we would believe, praying to God. And we're saying, can you please pray for us as well? And if they're in heaven praying anyways, then they may as well pray for us as well. So there's nothing really contradictory or unreasonable about that belief. And I felt, well, that's such a beautiful thing. Not only can I ask my friends to pray for me, but I can also ask the saints to pray for me as well. So there's a large community of Christians who are all interacting together. There's a life beyond death, which we're looking forward to. And we also partake in through the veneration and the prayers of the saints. And that's such a beautiful idea. Now, the final reason for why I became a Catholic was because of Scripture. As a Protestant, we have a very high view of Scripture. You believe sola scriptura, you believe the words of the infallible word of God. Oftentimes, that leads to very literalistic interpretation of scriptures, which you see among young earth creation communities, and so much more. But what I'm trying to get here is, if you have a high view of scripture, to me, it is reasonable to say that you must have a high view of who put the scriptures together in the first place. The Bible isn't one book written by one person. That is a Quranic Islamic view of how the scriptures were put together. They believe that God dictated the Quran and forced Muhammad to write something down. What Christians say is there's a lot of different books, right? Let me get a stack of books here. There's a lot of different books, letters put together by different, written by Paul, the early church, by the apostles, by Jews. And someone decided to put all these together and said, well, okay, now this collection, this anthology, is an infallible anthology of the word of God. But now the problem is who has the right to put together an infallible book? It's not just saying, okay, this book is infallible. It's to say that this collection of books that I've chosen, I've selected these to put together, is the infallible word of God. Why are these gospels, assuming these are, let's take, for example, these are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why should these four gospels be in the scriptures and not the infancy gospel of Thomas? Why not the gospel of Judas? Why shouldn't other gospels, these apocryphal texts, be in the scriptures as well? Who makes that decision? Can a fallible person make that decision? Surely not. You can't have a fallible person putting together an infallible book. Otherwise, I could just take random books out of the Bible. There's nothing stopping me from saying, well, I don't like James, which Luther kind of did. Like, throw that out. I didn't like Romans, throw that out as well. I've changed my scripture. That is the book I have. Well, that's not what you can do if the book's infallible. You have to have an infallible person to put it together. But who put the books together? It was a church. It was holy tradition, which guided the development of canon from the past to the present. And for a while before I converted to Catholicism, I had a very low view of scriptures. I was like, okay, then, well, since I can't really believe in the infallibility of scriptures without the belief in the church, my way to maintain Protestantism was I just don't really care too much about scriptures. I have a low view of scriptures. But I was like, well, that doesn't really make sense. That didn't sit very well with me. And therefore, in order to revive that high view of scriptures, I also revived a high view of the church, which then directed me towards Catholicism. So those are the three reasons for why I have decided to become a Catholic. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. Stay safe, see you soon, God bless, and goodbye. I'll see you next one.